Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies.
I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from my precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. This is God's word. I'm very excited to launch into our Cues from the Pews series here this morning. You have given me some really interesting topics to think about for this summertime, a really wide variety as well. If you have a question that you would like me to consider, get it to me today. I intend to have a plan for the summer into your hands next week so that you know what we're going to talk about week by week in July, August, and into September there. This morning, we are going to think about a question that I think that probably most of us can relate to, and it's this. I like the idea of reading my Bible at home, but I don't always do it. How can I get into it more? That's a great question. And I love how honest it is. I think that all of us inherently realize that the Bible is very important to us as believers. It is food for our soul. It gives us wisdom and strength. And yet, sometimes reading the Bible can slide down the list of priorities pretty easily. So let's think about this morning. How can we get into reading the Bible more? To unpack that, I want to ask three more questions. How should we think about the Bible? Secondly, how do we get into it? And third, what does effective Bible study, Bible reading look like? So how should we think about the Bible? How do we do it? And what does it look like? That's the plan for today, so let's jump right in. Question one, how should we think about the Bible? Now, I realize that in our culture today, there's this feeling that the Bible is a boring, stuffy old book that is irrelevant to our times. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. You don't want to go near it. I feel that sometimes when I do funerals. A family member gets asked to read scripture and they've never come to church before. They pull out this old translation of the Bible and they stumble through it, and it's, you can just hear in their voice, like, what is this bygone relic? What is this? It seems to them boring and lifeless. But if you spend a little bit of time with the Bible, you quickly realize that it's anything but. It is, as the psalm says, sweeter than honey in our mouths. To be honest, I think it's most appropriate, or more appropriate at least, to think about the Bible like this. At a variety of points in my life, when I went off to university, ordination, my graduations, birthdays, my mom and dad wrote heartfelt notes into my card saying, we're proud of you, we're excited to see you where you go, we're with you. I keep them. Those are a treasure to me. My grandpa Lloyd wrote a lot of things to me and sent me notes whenever he would listen to my preaching online. He would send these notes to me to encourage me. I keep them. They are a treasure to me. I was really, really close with my grandma Gladstone. She died just about a month after Julie and I were married. About a month before that, though, she sent me a letter, and I hold on to that. I treasure it. That's God's word. A treasure. It is our Father's love letter to us, telling us how deeply he loves us, how personally he knows us, how far he went to make us his children. The Bible is a word from a loving parent telling us how valuable we are and telling us the wondrous plans that he has for our lives. If you want to know how deeply God loves you, it's here. The endless compassion of God is expressed in the Bible. It is not a boring, lifeless book. It is a treasure sweeter than honey. God wants each of us to know him personally, and so he has shown us who he is in his word. We learn about his kindness and his grace and his justice and his will. And when we invest time reading his word, we become wise, as the psalm says, wiser than the wisest, able to discern right from wrong. God's word lays down the boundaries and shows us how to thrive in the world that he's created. So how should we think about God's word and about the Bible? It is a treasure that reveals who God is, and it shows us how much he cares for us. How do we get into it? I know that for some people, the Bible can be a pretty intimidating book. There's a lot there. Sometimes in very, very fine print. I remember that when I started to read the Bible consistently, mostly daily, about 20 years ago, I thought, man, I will never understand this. There is just too much going on here. I can't possibly conceive of it all. And yet at some point, somebody said to me, the Bible is shallow enough that a child can wade in it and deep enough that an elephant could swim in it. And that's right. The Bible is shallow enough that a child could wade in it and deep enough that an elephant could swim in it. That is to say, wherever you are in your Christian walk, in your Bible literacy, it will speak to you where you need it to. When I first started to read the Bible, I knew next to nothing about it, and yet it was straightforward enough that I could understand the fundamentals of the gospel, sin and salvation and grace and forgiveness. I got what I needed to at that time. God spoke to me where I was. But every time I've gone back to the Bible, there has been more and more there. God has continued to teach me through it and continued to feed me and grow me through his word. The Bible can speak to the newest believer, and it can speak equally effectively to the most mature believer. How do we get into it so that it can speak to us? Okay, two things. First off, make it a priority. Right, there is a lot going on in our day and age. Our lives are very, very busy. It's no surprise to me that the Canadian Bible Society found that only 14% of Canadian Christians read their Bible at least once a week. Did you get that? 14% of Canadian Christians read their Bible at least once a week. The other 86% of Canadian Christians don't read their Bible once a week. That's a stunning number to me. But I'll bet that the average person, those other 86% of people, would say, I'm too busy to read the Bible. But here's the thing. We make time for things that are important to us, right? We make time to go to the gym. We make time to watch our favorite show. We make time to do the things that we think are important. We agree that the Bible is important, so it makes sense that we would make time for it, right? I think that the first step to getting into reading your Bible daily is to make it a priority. I remember early on when I started thinking about, okay, yeah, I want to do this. I want to read my Bible consistently. I realized, man, that's huge. I might have to give some time up doing something else that I enjoy. But I agree that the time spent with this is better than anything else that I could do. If you leave reading God's word on the list of things that can be pushed to the back burner, it will stay on the back burner. But if you make it a priority to read God's love letter to you, then you will grow. So one, make it a priority. Second, find a time where you can consistently read the Bible. For me, I like to read the Bible first thing in the morning before I start into my day. I find that it helps to focus my mind. I find that it gives me something to think about through the day and prepare me for what lies ahead. Whatever time you choose, though, just try to do it consistently. The goal here is to create a habit so that simply reading the Bible becomes a crucial part of your everyday routine. So how do you get into reading the Bible? Make it a priority, do it consistently, and dig in. I think that's all there really is to it. So let's ask our final question. What does effective Bible reading look like? Because really, we don't read the Bible the way that we would read a John Grisham novel or something like that. We read the Bible devotionally. How do you do that? I think that the first step is to pray. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us into all truth. And so when we sit down to read God's word, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And when you think about it, there's actually something really neat that's happening when you read your Bible. First Peter tells us that the Holy Spirit carried along the men who wrote down Scripture. So the Holy Spirit carried those men along as they put the words into the Bible. The Holy Spirit now comes in us and helps us to read it and interpret it and understand it. The same Spirit who helped to write it down helps us to understand it now. So it makes sense for us to invite him to do this work of helping us to understand. So first, pray. Second, you need to choose a portion of scripture to read. I know that there are some people that advocate this sort of style of, oh, just read the Bible and read whatever comes up here. There is a lot of room when you choose at random for misunderstanding, for misinterpretation, for reading things out of context. And I mean, this one says, at this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. I mean, that's not immediately edifying to me. I would really encourage you not to do that. Open your Bible at random and stick your finger in and say, okay, learn. There are times in your life when there's something happening in your life or you want to know more about something where it makes sense to focus your Bible study in that period. I remember going through a period of particularly intense conflict at the last church that I was at. And one morning I sat down and I said, okay, I need to think all that I can, I need to read all that I can. I need to hear God speak to me through his word, all that I can about conflict and about peacemaking and about handling these sort of fist thumping moments. So I sat and fed my heart with all that the Bible said about conflict and resolving conflict. In a lot of Bibles, you'll have a concordance at the back or a list of things that says, if you're looking, if you need peace, read these verses. If you need encouragement, read these verses. If you want to learn about heaven, read these verses. Make use of those lists. There are online resources as well that you can look for that will help you to work through a topic of the Bible if that's what you need at that particular time. By and large, though, I would recommend reading through the Bible book by book, day by day. When I started to read the Bible consistently, I kind of felt this impulse to read as much as I could, as quickly as I could. But I think that the goal in devotional Bible reading is depth more than breadth. There are certainly times when it's good to get a whole swath of scripture so you understand what's going on. But by and large, you want to dig in on a small portion of scripture. When I started reading the Bible, I would read about a chapter a day. That was manageable for me at that time. And then the next day, I would read the next chapter. And then the next day, read the next chapter. There are reading plans online that you can follow to kind of walk you through, and they can help you keep on track. So let's see, we've prayed, we've chosen our Bible passage that we're going to read from. Third, the next step is to slowly and carefully read through this passage of Scripture, taking note of anything that really jumps out to you, anything that you don't understand. You feel this impulse to read as quickly as possible. When I was in seminary, I had a prof who talked about reading with the fan on high or medium or low. You picture your fan sitting beside a book, and you see how fast you go through the pages, right? Depending on how high or low the fan is blowing. When you do Bible study, turn the fan off. Just sit with it. In my devotional time, I find myself reading and rereading parts of a passage to make sure that I understand key thoughts, that I understand the train of thought. I'll admit that I can be reading something and four verses later realize, wait, I was thinking about something else. I need to go back and read that. Discipline yourself to be able to do that. Go, oh, right, I need to focus more as I'm going through this. I find it helpful to dig into certain words and phrases so I can kind of mentally chew through, what does this mean? What's the train of thought that's happening here? This is an aside. Personally, I recommend making notes in your Bible. It wasn't until I started to highlight and underline and cross-reference and make notes about insights in my Bible that I really started to grow. But I admit that it took me a long time to get there. You know, when I first started to read the Bible, I was very much of the mindset, you can't write in the Bible. It's the Bible. That's no way to honor it. So what I actually started to do was whenever I found a verse that really spoke to me, I would like write it out on a little post-it note and stick it in that page of the Bible and then write it out and stick another page in. And eventually I just had this whole Bible full of sticky notes. Eventually I thought, okay, I'm just going to try. And I wrote in my Bible and I've never looked back. If you are reluctant to write in your Bible, I can appreciate that. Absolutely. I understand the impulse to honor the Bible, and that's good and right. I would just say, be careful not to honor the Bible so much that you never take it off the shelf. We honor God's word most when we read it. And I find, personally, that making notes helps me in that process. Whether or not we make notes in the Bible is ultimately not nearly as important as whether or not we've left fingerprints on it, having read it. So, end of aside. As you're reading, take time to meditate, to chew on, to think about the ideas that you're finding here. Take time to allow them to soak into your heart so that you have something to think about through the day. If you have a Bible dictionary or a study Bible, those can be very helpful in making sense of what a passage means. If you are digitally inclined, I have found that the Olive Tree Bible app is really helpful. They don't send me checks, I promise. I have just found it to be a very helpful resource, and they have good resources at decent prices. Again, they didn't pay me to say that. Once you've figured out what a passage means, then you need to think about, okay, what does it mean for me? How will it change the way that I live or think or act? You know, sometimes you'll have an application that is a behavior, like love your neighbor. Sometimes that application, though, is a new way of thinking or understanding some new insight into God's character. It all depends on the portion of Scripture that you are reading. You know, sometimes I actually find it really helpful to pray the words of Scripture for people, especially in Paul's letters. He has all these prayers, the Psalms too. I have quite often prayed those words for many of you in these seats as I've found them to be applicable to your circumstances. A wise man that I know has a pretty wise, helpful way of summing this all up. Really, in Bible study, you're asking three things. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? Well, that's more or less the idea. What does it say? You got to make sure that you understand the words on the page. What does it mean? Understand the significance of it. And then what does it mean for me? What are the implications for this, for my life? How does this change the way that I live and think and act towards other people? Pretty straightforward. Personally, I think that if you do that, you will have a fairly effective Bible study time. And for sure, this can look different for different people. You know, that process could take 10 minutes, it could take half an hour, it could take an hour, depending on how much time you've got. And probably it's going to change day by day, depending on what your circumstances are. What's important, though, is that you do make that commitment to get into the Word of God so that it can change you. You know, it's, in a way, getting into Bible reading is like that old saying, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, right? The journey to Christian maturity starts with a single page. So, everybody ready to get into their Bibles for next week? I will say that we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, that's going to be for next week's passage, next week's question. So if you are so inclined, spend some time in 1 Corinthians this week. If you are looking for a good place to start Bible reading, you've never done it before, and you think, okay, I'm going to give this a shot. Ephesians or Colossians are very straightforward, very gospel-centered, very application-obvious books. And I spent a lot of time just steeping in those books when I was a younger believer. Mark is the most succinct gospel. A lot of people, though, will say to read John's gospel. And personally, Romans is, like, you can't do better than Romans. But honestly, it's all good. It's all good. What you're reading in the Bible is not nearly as important as that you're reading the Bible. And not just reading it and hearing it, but putting it into action. God's Word is a treasure that shows us who He is, and it deserves our attention. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the steadfast love that you have for us. Thank you for recording it in your word so that we know who you are. We're not left guessing and imagining what you are like. You have shown us your wisdom and mercy and justice and grace. Father, I pray that you would give each of us a desire, a hunger in our hearts to spend time reading your word. God, I admit that it's hard sometimes to block off a part of my schedule and say, I'm going to sit down and read your word. But man, is it ever fruitful? God, I pray that for anybody here who has never had a daily or even every other day reading habit, I pray that you would give a little bump, put us into motion, God. I pray that you would help us to read and understand and to find that this is sweeter than honey and more valuable than anything else that we have ever spent time with. God, I pray too that as we read your word, it would not just go into our minds as information, but that it would go into our hearts to change us so that we would not just hear the word, but do it. Give us a hunger to read your word and the insight to know how to put it into practice in our lives. Thank you for your steadfast, unfailing commitment to us, God, and for your word that shows us all about it. We pray that you would shape us and make us more like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.